Good morning, everyone. It is a privilege to be here again this morning, to gather together and worship. I greet you in the name of Jesus this morning, the one who said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." I was blessed by that verse this morning. If you notice in Brother Ernest's prayer, he talked about the darkness that is around us, but he also referenced the light. That's what I plan to share on this morning. I had prepared a message for Christmas Day, thinking about lights, and Brother Elijah Slaybaugh was here, and he brought a wonderful message from Isaiah. I was happy to give him the opportunity to do that. But the title for my message on Christmas was The Lights of Christmas. So that's been going through my mind the last couple weeks here, the subject of light. And I know that Tim just brought a message last Sunday on darkness, so I'm not tending to contradict that in any way. I just want to bring out a different aspect of the subject. But I want to look at the subject of light this morning, and I've chosen to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, so please turn there. I want to use these for a text verse, but we're not going to look at them. We'll look at them more in depth maybe towards the end of the message, but for a springboard for our thoughts this morning, I want to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, because these are the verses that have been circling around in my mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I want to start reading in verse 1. It says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 now. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to those to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Verse 6 is what I want to look at this morning. This verse blessed me as I thought about the darkness that we're experiencing in this world. And this week, there were some news articles that I noticed that just saddened me. The darkness that our world is descending to. It's very sad. But this morning I want to bring a positive message, and that is the message of light. Because light is always associated with God. Understanding, righteousness, peace, joy, hope, and love are all experiences that come from God, and they are light. And darkness is obviously the opposite of that. Sin, ignorance, crime, hatred, destruction, and death are all fruits of darkness. Tim reminded us of that last week. But that's what makes the news. Darkness makes news. Light doesn't necessarily make news. So if we focus on our news feed, we're going to be focusing more and more on darkness. But this morning I want to bring our attention to light and looking at light. I want to consider natural light and darkness for just a few minutes this morning and make a few spiritual comparisons there. They're very, very simple observations, but darkness is default. It's the first observation I'd like to make about light. So where there is no light, there is darkness. But when light is brought to a situation, darkness is driven back. I'm not going to go into the science of that, but light pushes back darkness, and the size of the light determines how far the darkness is pushed back, if you think about it in a natural sense. This morning I brought a couple of my lights along to sort of illustrate this point. I don't know how many of you have a light like this at your house, but that's one that's very familiar in Bangladesh. Something that if you go to visit someone's house in the evening, they'll have this filled with kerosene, and there's a little wick in there. There's actually an old shirt torn up. and wrapped up into a tight little wick. And that's just sitting up on a shelf somewhere on the edge of a bed, and it's just sort of flickering there, and it's producing a light, and you can sit there and have a conversation. But if you take that light outside, it just doesn't do too much. You can't see very far. Brought another one of my lights this morning. This was a Christmas gift to me from a couple Christmas ago. This light is 90,000 lumens. And it actually hurts if you look at it. This light, it's almost like a little spotlight. It's impressive for how small this light is, the LED bulb, the light that it can project. You can take it outside and you can shine it across the field and you can really see with this light. So these are both lights this morning, but one pushes back darkness a little bit. One pushes it back a bit more. And if you compare this flashlight to maybe a light over at the Curve Stadium, this would become a small light. So my point here is that the size of the light determines how far back the darkness is driven. And we're going to pick that thought up a little bit later, so maybe hang on to that. Another observation about light is that it brings clarity and understanding. When we're looking at something in the dark, we're having a difficulty seeing it. We're having a difficulty seeing what's going on. Sometimes, depending on the situation, I'm working on a garage door motor, and maybe it's in a barn or it's in a shop. It's not very well lit, and I'm having a problem with it, and I can't see what's going on. Grab a flashlight off the truck, and you can shine it into that electrical box, and you can see that little wire that's chafed, that little wire that's broken off, that's causing the problem. You fix that little problem and you're back in business. You can't see it without light. So light brings clarity and understanding. Another observation about light is that it is attractive. We are naturally drawn to light. There's something about the warmth of a light that draws us to it. Here in the wintertime, it's dark, often dark when I come home from work, and I can see my house sitting up through the woods, and I can see those lights on in the house, and it's inviting. I want to go there. I know it's warm there. I know my family's there, and it's attractive. So light attracts us. I also think of this if you've ever been to my in-law's place out in the cove. You come across the top of the hill, and you look down in the valley, and you see the house down there that's normally very well lit, and it's inviting, it's attractive. We're going to make some spiritual comparisons here in a little bit. Right now, we're just thinking about the natural aspects of light. Another observation is that light brings life. Light brings life. We know that if there was not light, that plant life would die, we would die. Life could not exist without light. But I think it's such a beautiful thing. If you enjoy getting up in the morning before it's light, and if you're outside, the world starts to wake up when the sun starts to come up, and the animals start to move around, the birds start to sing. It's just a beautiful experience when the light is starting to dawn on the earth. So light brings life. Those are very natural aspects of light. But for a title this morning, I'd like to use a title from verse 6 here, is the light that shines out of darkness. The title for the message this morning, the light that shines out of darkness. I want to break the message into three parts. First part is God is the source of light. Secondly, Jesus is the light of the world. And thirdly, let your light so shine. So the first part here, we're going to be thinking about God being the source of light. You just turn back to Genesis. These are very familiar verses. But I think it's interesting how Paul ties these two lights together. Let's read the first five verses of Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. I can't imagine what this planet looked like when Genesis chapter 1 started to take place. Complete darkness. There was no light at all anywhere. And verse 2 tells us that God's Spirit moved on the face of the waters. And God said with his spoken word, "Let there be light." And there was light. When we think of light, we think of light coming from a source, whether it's this little oil lamp here or a flashlight or the sun. We think of light having a source. Where did this light come from that was on day one? Remember, it wasn't until day four that the sun was created. God is light, John 1 verse 5 tells us. Light and darkness, day and night, existed before the sun and moon were created. I think this teaches us that light comes from the presence of God, and it goes beyond the natural light that we can see. God separated this light and darkness right here at the beginning. He saw light and he called it good. God is the source of light, and all light comes from him. Natural and spiritual, I think we could say. God is the source of all light. I quoted this verse already, but I'll just say it again. John 1, verse 5. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. It was inspiring for me as I read these verses from 2 Corinthians, our text verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and verse 6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's inspiring to me to see Paul reach back to this event back at the beginning of time. And he says that power that said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The God that commanded light to shine out of darkness is the God that shines into our hearts today. Same God, same power. Paul makes that connection. Darkness is powerful, but light is more powerful. Let's never forget that. Throughout Scripture, light is synonymous with the presence of God. I'd like to look at just a couple examples of this. Turn back to Exodus chapter 10. For a story from the Old Testament of the presence of God bringing light to a situation. Exodus chapter 10, start reading in verse 20 and read through verse 23. We know that the context here, God is preparing to bring his people out of Egypt, and Pharaoh is not cooperating, and God is sending plagues to soften his heart to harden his heart. You could say it that way, I guess. And God is speaking to Pharaoh, and this plague is darkness. And there's darkness over the whole land. Verse 20 says, "But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt." I have never felt darkness, but it was very dark here. "They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings." I think this is a beautiful picture of God's presence bringing light to a dark situation. Here, this was a very dark time. God was judging and speaking to the land of Egypt, but inside the dwellings of the Israelites, there was light. Where did this light come from? I believe it's from the presence of God. We could just go on right here in Exodus. Exodus chapter 14, verse 20. Another light that indicated God's presence. Exodus chapter 14, verse 20. Let's start reading in verse 19. "And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud of darkness to them," talking about the Egyptians, "but it gave light by night to those that the one came not near the other all the night." So they're at the Red Sea. They have the Red Sea in front of them. They're complaining to Moses because he brought them out here in the wilderness to die. And here God's presence is leading them with a cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night. And here we see this pillar of fire going behind them during the night and separating them from the Egyptians. God's presence was with them, and it gave them light. So it was dark outside, but this pillar of fire gave them light, gave them direction. I don't think we're going to take time to look at all of these, but in Exodus chapter 24, verse 16, when God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses on top of Mount Sinai, remember when Moses came back down off the mountain, that his face shone. The children of Israel couldn't look at him because his countenance glowed so brightly. And I'm missing a point there, so I'm just going to turn back Exodus chapter 24, verse 16. There's a note that I missed, and I want to pull that out. Exodus 24, verse 16 and 17. Oh, yes. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. So when Moses was up there, there was a fire that covered the top of the mountain, and it was visible. It was light that they could see from the bottom. And the children of Israel were afraid. And then when Moses came down, this is in Exodus 34, actually. I had my reference wrong. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai, they had to put that veil over his face because they couldn't even look at him because his face shone so brightly. The glory of God gave light to this situation. A story from the New Testament of where God's presence brought light. That is in Acts chapter 9. Paul was walking down the road on his way to Damascus. And it specifically says that it was midday. Think about how bright the sun is at midday. It's when the sun is at its peak or very near to it. And this light shines down from heaven, and it's so bright that it strikes Paul down there on the road, and he falls down. This light was brighter than the noonday sun. God's presence brings light. And we can follow this theme through the Bible. Wherever God's presence displayed, there was powerful light. Darkness has to flee at the presence of God. When God's power is displayed, darkness is driven back. I'd like to move to the second part of our message here. In Jesus being the light of the world, we can see this also in our text verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. The latter part of the verse, it says, I'll just read the whole verse again. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And this, under this part, we're going to look at Jesus being the light of the world and God revealing himself to mankind through Jesus. So this glory that we looked at in the Old Testament is being revealed through Jesus Christ. And that's the light that shines out of darkness and into our hearts. And I'd like to look at a few ways that the light of Jesus shines in our hearts. And I made some natural comparisons to light. We're going to come back and visit some of those. The first one that I mentioned was light brings clarity. John chapter 8, verse 12. I quoted this in the beginning, but Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. There's so much in life that does not make sense unless we look at it through the lens of Jesus Christ in our lives. When we have that light of Jesus shining in our hearts, we understand why we are here on this earth. Life has meaning and purpose when we have the light of Jesus shining in our hearts. The light brings clarity to our lives. We're not just wandering around in darkness. Christ brings light to our life. Another natural observation we looked at earlier is that light brings life and hope. Turn to John chapter 1, and we're going to read some verses here. John chapter 1. verse 4 to 9. John chapter 1, verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Verse 9 is what I wanted to notice from this passage. There's a light that comes to every man. This is one of the ways that we see the mercy of God extended to us. Every person has the opportunity to see this light or reject this light. Every person has that opportunity. This light comes into every man. And that's one of the ways we see darkness today is people are trying to take the light that is in every person and turn it to darkness. It's one of the works of Satan. He's combating that light. Good is evil. Turning things upside down. And pushing back that light. But there's still that light that comes to every man. Light brings life and hope. We're here in John. Let's turn over to John chapter 3. Light exposes. Light exposes. Like I said, when you're looking at something in the dark, it's not very clear. When you bring light over there, it exposes the problem. John chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. The light of Jesus exposes sin. That's why these Pharisees that we read about in the Gospels hated Jesus so much. He exposed their proud hearts. He exposed them, their hearts that were full of darkness. An example of this is in John 8, when they bring the woman caught in the very act of adultery. The law said she should be stoned. And they brought her to Jesus and said, "What do you think we should do with her?" Jesus didn't say anything. He just stoops down and he begins to write in the sand or in the dirt. And he stands up and said, "The person that is in the circle that has not sinned, cast the first stone." And one by one, they all walked away. The light of Jesus exposed those men. They realized their sin. They thought they had trapped them, but Jesus exposed them, and they walked away. Light exposes. Question for us this morning is, do we love light? Do we like the truth? Or do we like darkness? It says here that are we trying to hide something? If we have nothing to hide, we come to the light, and the light can expose. But if we have something to hide, we like darkness. This morning, let's be people of light. We have nothing to hide. Another connection to the natural property of light is that light draws, or it brings people together. We're naturally drawn to light. And the light of Jesus brings us together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Turn to 1 John, some beautiful verses here as well, on what the light does for us collectively. 1 John chapter 1. Let's read verse 3 to verse 7. I think under this is under the point of Christ being the light, and how it brings us, it draws and brings us together. John chapter 1, verse 3. "This which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So this is referring to the light drawing us into relationship with God, with Jesus Christ. Let's read over to verse, flip over to chapter 2 and read verse 7 to verse 11. John chapter 2, verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. So the light of Jesus, we're talking about relationships this morning. When we're walking in the light, when we have fellowship with each other, with Jesus Christ and with our brothers and sisters, that light exposes us. We're in the light, and there's openness, there's transparency, and that builds relationships in our brotherhood when we walk in the light. Third part of the message this morning is letting our light shine. This light that shines into our hearts. Our text verse says it's in earthen vessels so that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The light was not intended to just stay inside of our hearts. It was intended for it to shine out to those around us. Matthew 5, 14 and 6 through 16. We know these verses by heart. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but under a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If we have the light of Jesus in our hearts, other people are going to know about it. It's not going to be a secret. It's going to shine out to those around us. The point is, we are only reflectors of that light, though. That light doesn't come from us. We mentioned earlier that God is the source of light. We're just reflectors. And let's come back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll spend the rest of our time here looking at this passage under letting our light shine. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we already read verse 1 through 7. Paul starts the verses here, verse 1, with the word therefore. So he's pointing back to something that he taught in what is chapter 3 for us. It wasn't divided before. Paul didn't have a division here. So he's pointing back. And what he was teaching here is the spiritual blindness that the people had, that the Jews had. He says, talks about the veil that is over their heart. They don't want that veil taken away. They're okay with their blindness. They're okay with that. But those of us who have had the veil taken off of our eyes, we understand who Jesus is. We understand his glory. We have a responsibility to share that light with those around us. Reflect that glory back to God. But Paul's real with the fact here. It says in verse 1, that this is work. We have received the mercy, we faint not. So Paul recognizes the fact that it's difficult to carry this message to those around us. To push back this darkness, it's work to do that. But we continue to push back against the darkness by spreading the light around us. A quote I've shared here before is, it's better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. It's one of my favorite quotes. It's easy to point at all of the things that are wrong, but it's more difficult to show light and to show a better way. But Satan wants to keep people blinded, but we have this privilege and this responsibility to shed the light of Jesus to those around us. People are looking for answers. People are looking for truth. And we can point them to the truth. Verse 5 says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus. We point them to the truth. Wynn mentioned in Sunday school that when people comment on our life or our work, Do we take that glory for ourselves, or do we reflect it back to God? Sometimes we're tempted to take this spreading of light and use it for our benefit. We want others to think highly of us, and we want people to look up to us. That's not the reason to share the light. The light is to bring others to a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why we let our light shine. Verse 6 tells us that it's futile if we don't have this light first shining in our hearts. It's the only way we can reflect this light back to God and to those around us is if we have this light shining into our hearts. Verse 7 talks about the earthen vessels. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, this powerful light that God has shined into our hearts. Why did he choose imperfect people to do this great work? These humans who struggle with sin, make mistakes. But he chose this for a specific reason. He tells us here what that reason is. It's so that we don't receive the glory. It's so that the glory is not taken back to ourselves. We have these imperfections so that he receives the glory from the light that is shining into our lives. Because we're not perfect. We will make mistakes. And that's when we can make those mistakes right and bring glory back to God. The light shines into our hearts, but we're also called to walk as children of light. Ephesians 5 tells us that. Let's just turn there for a couple verses. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, start reading in verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Let's skip down to verse 11. And having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. We are to walk as children of light. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 says, But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. We need to walk as children of light. It's not just a light that shines into our hearts, and then we have the light, but we need to walk in the light. I just want to close with a verse from Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. It says, That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. The world is a very dark place. We know that. But like I said earlier, when it's the light pushes back the darkness, and the darker it is, the brighter a small light looks in a very dark place. So as we go from this place today, this week, I just want to challenge each one of us to be a light wherever we are. No matter how small the light, how maybe insignificant it might feel, but just be that light. Reflect that light that is coming to our hearts and reflect that to those we interact with, whether it's our children at home, whether it's people at school, whether it's the man we meet in the place of business. We have many, many opportunities to share the light of Jesus to those around us. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we come before you this morning. We come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you that you've given us the light of the glorious gospel and it shined in our hearts. And I just pray that this power would help us to push back the darkness that wants to creep up into our hearts, and that we would take this light and reflect it to those around us. Lord, I just pray that when people interact with us, that they see the light is shining forth from our life. Lord, forgive us where we have made mistakes and we have marred your name. Lord, help us to repent of those things. Lord, I just pray that we could be a consistent and true light to this dark world. Lord, I do just pray for those who are not here this morning. Pray for Brother Steve and Sister Diane. They're in India, their family. Pray that you just bless them. Pray for Elijah and Megan and others who may be traveling. Lord, I just pray you bring them back to us safely, according to your will. Also lift up Brother Christopher this morning. Bless him where he is. And give him strength and courage to continue his walk with you. Lord, I just pray you'd help all of us to be more like you each day. We ask this in Jesus' name.